Wonderful. And now we are ready to begin. Welcome everyone to the seventh season of Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion's Continuing Learning Series Alumni Learn. This is a special project of our president, Rabbi Aaron Pankin. I am Dina Stein, Assistant Director of Alumni Engagement and Development and Director of Alumni Learn. During this session and throughout the year, you can always reach alumni engagement at alumni@huc.edu. I'll share with you some technical details about this session in a moment. We at HUCJIR are excited to bring you the latest in research and learning from our fantastic faculty. This year, we are pleased to offer online opportunities for learning focused on engaging learners with Israel, Beyond the Pew, Modern Jewish Ethics, special sessions, and mini courses taught by our most well-known faculty and staff. A full list of session speakers and times can be found on the Alumni Learn site. That's huc.edu/alumni-learn. Today, we are honored to present a special session with Dr. Leslie Lippman, Engaging Learners with Israel, Connecting Principles to Practice, the Whys and Whats of Israel Education. I will introduce her momentarily, but before I do that, I would like to say a few words about Alumni Learn. Any associated materials or recommended reading from this session will be posted on the Ancillary Materials page of the Alumni Learn site. Again, huc.edu/alumni-learn. Shortly, you will receive a link for an evaluation of today's learning. Please take a few moments to fill out this brief evaluation. Your feedback will assist us in providing future learning that meets your interests and needs. If you wish to provide further comments, you can always email me at alumni@huc.edu. You will be encouraged to ask questions to today's speaker and to add to the discussion. If you are joining the session online, you can either post your questions in the chat box, which you can access by scrolling, by moving your mouse over the Zoom screen and clicking the chat button, and a box will appear. You will also have the opportunity to unmute your audio, which we ask you to mute yourself in order to cut down on background noise. When we get to those points, I will explain how to unmute your audio. If you have a video and you are participating online, we do encourage you to please also share your video as it enhances the session greatly. If you are on the phone and you have questions you would like to ask to our presenter, please email me at alumni@huc.edu and I will read them on your behalf. If you have any technical difficulties with today's session, please write in the chat box or email desupport@huc.edu and our team will be more than happy to assist you. Now it is my great pleasure to welcome today's speaker. Dr. Leslie Lippman is the director of the Executive MA Program in Jewish Education and works with the Experiment in Congregational Education as the coordinator of its Boston-based initiative. He also consults to the I Center in the area of curriculum design and professional development in Israel education. Leslie holds a doctorate in Jewish education from the Jewish Theological Seminary. Her research interests focus on the connection between curriculum and innovation in congregational education. Again, if you have questions or thoughts, you may post them in the chat box or unmute your audio in order to ask, or you can email me at alumni@huc.edu. It is now my pleasure welcome Dr. Lippman.
Thank you. It's good to see everybody. I don't know everybody, but I can see your name, so it's so welcome. And I think, Dina, because we're a pretty small group, if you just want to raise your hand or post something in the chat box, I'm happy to, if that works with you, Dina, to have a little bit of a discussion. So I think what I have to share my screen with you, just a moment. Here we go. Oh, let me see. How's that? Okay. Do you see the PowerPoint?
Yes, we do.
Okay, great. So I want to start just by adding a little bit to my my Israel story. At the I Center, does everybody know what the I Center is? For those of you who don't know, the I Center is a center located in Chicago for Israel education based in North America. And their goal, they have a number of goals. One is to really create a field, to create a set of principles that can guide Israel education as a field for the pre-collegiate age learners. And they also do a lot of work with Birthright Fellows, those who lead Birthright. And they work a lot on professional learning. My role in the iCenter has been to work with day schools throughout North America to help them infuse Israel to all aspects of day school life, beyond the classroom, in the classroom, and Jewish studies and general studies. And so this is an area I've been doing a lot of thinking about, a lot of work on, and what has always struck me in the work, I've worked probably with 25 day schools in the past number of years, is that the principles that day schools choose to use, and I would say congregational schools and camps and any educational setting, the principles that they use to guide the decisions made around Israel education are critical. And when educational settings don't choose principles, then things get confusing. I think that's true, by the way, for education in general. And I like to say that good Israel education is good Jewish education is good education. So a lot of what we talk about today, hopefully, will ring true with good education, period. So my other little connection to Israel is I spent 10 years in Israel. I was one of the founders of the reform movement, Kibbutz Yehel, many, many years ago. And my son was born in Israel. So Not only do I have an intellectual and educational connection to Israel, but a deep personal connection as well. So this session is about Israel education from principles to practice. Okay, there we go. So the big idea of this session is that Israel learning and engagement are most powerful when the principles animating the learning are well-defined and are able to be actualize. That's the essence. That's what we're going to look at. So we're going to look at different principles and think about the implications of different principles that might guide some decision making, and then look at how one actualizes those principles. So these are the questions we're going to be addressing. You know, I'm going to try to actually see. Can you still see? No, you can't see this anymore. Okay, I'm just a second. I want to play with my camera a little. I'm not looking at you because I'm reading a screen. So so here are the questions that we're going to be looking at. What do we mean by Israel? We throw around the term Israel a lot. Israel is complex. It can mean many things. So what do we mean by Israel? How do I, or how do we determine the principles that will guide us in our educational decision-making? And what makes a principle actualizable? That's not a real world, but what makes a principle actualizable, and what does it look like in practice? And here is what I hope that we will come out with today, that we will have together explored a range of potential principles, that you can perhaps find a principle that resonates with you and identify ways that it might be manifest in your setting. Here's what aren't our outcomes for today. I am not going to suggest to you which principles to choose. I have my favorites, but this isn't about which principles, me telling you what principles to choose, but rather it's providing a range of potential principles. This is not about how to teach the conflict. I think each of the principles that we'll look at will have many, many ramifications for one, how one teaches the conflict, but that's not what this is about. And I wrote this little people love because one of the, with young children, with the early elementary grades, I often hear, well, kids should first learn to love Israel, and then once they love Israel, then we can do the hard stuff with them. So I'm going to say right up front that I don't buy that, and we have some wonderful research from Dr. Sivan Zakai, who actually interviewed young children of ages 4 and 5, and later 6, 7, 8, and 9. And what she discovered is that very young children are able to hold dual realities at simultaneously. They're able to say Israel is the home for Jews and Israel is dangerous. A four-year-old can say that, a five-year-old can say that, and they do say that. So they are able to hold complexity in their minds and in their hearts. And when we say we should help them love Israel and only then do the hard stuff, we are not really listening to their realities and what they're able to take in from, and what they do take in from the world. And I remember sitting in the car listening to the radio with my then 3 or 4 year old who had a friend named Barack, and they were talking about Ehud Barak. And he said, "Oh, how did they know it's Barack's birthday? Wow." Because he was listening to the radio. He was hearing Ehud Barak's name. He thought it was his friend Barack. But nevertheless, what that pointed out to me is that even as a small child, he was listening and he was absorbing, not always correctly. But so I am not going to suggest that we need to teach kids to love Israel first. I think it's a little more complex than that. So what I want to start with is defining what we mean by principle. And you may or may not agree with this definition, but it's my session, so I get to define principle for today. And you can define it in your own way in the future. But today, for this purposes of this session, a principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior, or for a chain of reasoning. So for us, a principle today is a proposition that serves as the foundation for our thinking around Israel education, decision-making we make around Israel education. From my perspective, principles aren't age-specific. They should cut across age groups. They should be just as true for young kids as for older kids, adults. And hopefully a very good principle is going to be effective in guiding decision-making. If it doesn't guide decision-making, then it's probably worth re-examining as a foundational principle. So there are several types of principles when one is considering education. There are principles related to content. There are principles related to how we perceive our learners. There are principles related to pedagogy. And there are principles related to how we perceive our educators. And the principles that I'm going to share with you relate to all of these to one degree or another. So we're going to jump right in. And there are four different examples that I think are solid examples that I want to share with you today. And then I'm going to take a couple of them and flesh them out a little bit. So one is from the I Center. It's called the Aleph Bet of Israel Education. The second is an approach that was recently articulated by Dr. Barry Chazan, who used to be at Hebrew University. He now is at Fertis College in Chicago and at the I Center. The third one is something called the Four Hatikva Questions from an organization called Makom. That's an organization that emerged from the Jewish Agency to focus on Israel education in the diaspora. They have since split from the Jewish Agency, but they're still doing their work. And the fourth example is something that was created or articulated, if you will, by Lisa Grant, our very own Rabbi Dr. Lisa Grant from the Hebrew Union College, and Ezra Kapelowitz in their book, Israel Education Matters. And they talk about three core ideas of integrate, complicate, connect. And we're going to unpack these a little bit going forward. So I'm just going to, any questions? I mean, we haven't really done much, but I just want to make sure everything's clear.
If you would like to unmute your audio in order to ask a question, if you are online, scroll your mouse over the Zoom screen and see the microphone button in the bottom left screen. When you click that, it will unmute you, and then you click that again when you are finished, and it will mute you again.
Okay. So I'm going to jump right in. And I chose, so the Alphabet of Israel Education came out of the I Center. The I Center created a set of 12 principles of Israel education. I have chosen a few of them here. And if you are interested in this approach and in these principles, then you can go to, and I have this later on in the in this PowerPoint presentation, the iCenter.org for the Aleph Bet, and you can, if you click on each principle, there is an essay that undergirds the principle and explicates it further. But so there are four levels here. The first one, diverse narratives, Eretz Medina, has to do with content. The second, learner-centered, immersive and integrative, has to do with the learner. Arts and culture, modern Hebrew, has to do with pedagogy. And knowledgeable and passionate educators has to do with educators. Did I say the second one is learners, right? Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about what diverse narratives or Eretz Medina looks like as a principle. The principle of diverse narratives is that anytime we present something to our learners, that we present from multiple perspectives so that it can be multiple Jewish perspectives, it can be Jewish-Palestinian perspectives, but this principle states that any event, any place, anything really having to relate to Israel or anything for that matter, is best presented from multiple perspectives using multiple narratives. And they would go further and say, when we're talking about Israel, we need to think about which Israel are we talking about? Are we talking about Am, Eretz, or Medinat Yisrael? Are we talking about a connection or a number of these together? But often there's confusion if we're not clear which Israel we're talking about, and that might also affect which narratives we choose. So that's that top level of principles. The second group has to do with the learner. Learner-centered is a term we bandy about, so I'm going to actually not go there right now. I'm going to talk about immersive and integrative. And the integrative one is one that particularly interests me. Integrative, we can talk about integrating it into all aspects of education, but we can also talk about integrating Israel into the whole learner and having Israel be part of all aspects of the learner's life. And I'll give you an example, one of my favorite examples, actually, from the director of the I Center. She tells a story that her eldest child came home from school, his Jewish day school, and talked about this identity thing he did about who he is. And this is a family, I think he was born in Israel, he identifies as Israeli, and this piece that he brought home only related to America, had nothing to do with his Jewish self or his Israel self. And his mom said, well, what's going on here? Why is it only your American self? And he said, oh, Ima, because in general studies, you just do your American self. And in Jewish studies, that's where I talk about my Israel self. And that notion of him as an integrated being was foreign to him. He had already picked up by fourth grade that he is not an integrated being and that the learning is not integrated. So integrative has to do not only with the subject matter, but also how we understand the learner. The third level is arts and culture and modern Hebrew. And pedagogically, the I Center, this particular principle would be that a very powerful and profound way to engage with Israel is through the lens of arts and culture. And I'm going to add the word authentic here. Authentic arts and culture authenticity has to do with something created by Israelis for Israelis. That makes it authentic. So when we go through the lens of arts and culture, what we are doing is we are immersing the learners in Israeli society in a less mediated way than if we bring them a text book, or we bring them something that's already been digested. And modern Hebrew is, I'm not going to go into that, but some would say that by engaging learners with modern Hebrew through it, with Israel through modern Hebrew, we are able to engage them in the most authentic way with authentic material. Finally, is the knowledgeable and passionate educator. That this principle states that individuals who engage with Israel and teach Israel, teach about Israel, must themselves have a connection to Israel, must be knowledgeable about Israel, and feel some sort of passion about Israel. So this is a set of principles that when you are thinking about what I'm going to teach or what I'm going to do, these might undergird some of your decision making. And we'll look at that a little bit as we go forward. So the second approach, and I'm not going to stop between the approaches. I'm going to stop at the end of the approaches. The second approach has to do with the relational approach. This is something that was articulated recently by Barry Chazan. And Barry would say that the content of Israel education is the individual's relationship with Israel, that anything and everything that we do is focused on and must undergird the development of the individual's relationship with Israel. It's not the wars, it's not the Intifada, it's not Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, rather the content is the individual's relationship with Israel. And all of the core ideas that we present should be part of the enterprise of, and I bolded it here, developing and creating a personal relationship with Israel. Diverse narratives that you'll see there's some connection to what the iCenter suggests. This rich corpus of diverse Israel narratives should be part of the learner trying to figure out which narrative do I want to be my narrative. And finally, according to the relational approach, and you may see, for those of you who know Parker Palmer, this is a little Parker Palmerian. He talks about the Israel education requires pedagogues who understand the overall vision and have the ability to make Israel narratives accessible to the student. And here's the key. And that individual can teach from within, that Israel isn't something outside of the educator, but rather something that is deeply embedded in the educator's being. That's what Barry Chazan would tell us. And I will just go back and I'll say that, and I'll thank Laura Novak-Weiner for this, Rabbi Laura Novak-Weiner, because she kind of helped me label these a little bit. This is the people approach. The next approach is the Grant Kapelowitz approach, which I would call the peoplehood approach. And this is their approach really has to do with Israel as a connector for the Jewish people. So the first is that wherever someone lives in whatever community that person lives in, Israel should be at the core of Jewish life. That's integrate. Israel should be integrated in all aspects of Jewish life, which means that in the synagogue setting, in the day school setting, in the JCC setting, Israel should be at the core. And that the Israel that should be there is a multi-layered, multivocal Israel, that it's a it recognizes the complexity that Israel is. And it also, by it being multivocal and multi-layered, that allows people to find themselves in that Israel that is kind of out there. And they add a third piece. The connect piece has to do with Israel as a resource to connect Jewish communities across the world to one another. What they all have in common is Israel. So this is the peoplehood approach. This is the approach which basically says Israel is the hub of Jewish life wherever it is lived, and it has the ability to connect Jews. It's not really a spoke, not really a hub and a spoke. It's more things are going through it and around it and connecting through it. So that's the Grant Kapelowitz piece. And this fourth one that I brought, which is the Macomb one, is sort of a set of principles. It's a little bit different, But they have created a framework called the four Hatikvah questions. And the goal here and the principle is that, number one, learners need to develop an ongoing relationship with Israel. You can see that the relationship piece is kind of strong throughout all of these. But and that relationship should live beyond their time at school. And they need to have a framework so that they can deal with a dynamic and complex Israel that does not avoid politics. So this is the first time we hear politics, by the way. You notice in any of these other principles, politics wasn't at the fore. I brought this one because it brings a couple of interesting things that the other ones didn't. So that doesn't avoid politics, but doesn't fetishize them. In other words, yes, politics is important, but politics isn't all of it, and politics can hold us back. And the third principle, which also we haven't seen yet, which I call more of an advocacy kind of principle, is that learners should be able to explain themselves to their non-Jewish friends or family. That they should, I think underneath this is that a principle is whatever is done should help learners feel comfortable with their relationship with Israel, comfortable enough that they can explain it to others who might have questions. So they do it, the way that Macomb does this is through unpacking one of the lines of Hatikvah, Liot Am Chofshi Be'artzenu. Lihiot is to be, that's a security, it's an existential question. What does it mean to be in the context of Israel? And what are the security or existence concerns? And how do we understand those? How do we deal with those? How do we articulate those, whether it be to ourselves or to our non-Jewish friends or family? The second is Liot Am, people. Who are the people? Are the people just Israelis? Are the people Jewish Israelis, Jewish Palestinians, Druze? How about people that live outside of Israel? Are they part of the Am that's engaged with this? And Chokshi has to do with freedom, rights and responsibilities. What are the rights and responsibilities that Israel and that perhaps we have regarding Israel? And what does it mean? What is Al-Sainu? What's our land? What's the role of home and homeland? And what do we mean by home and homeland? So these would be the four core questions that any decision making around Israel would have to address. So I am going to stop for a moment to see if we have there are any questions. And because I can't see the chat box, I think, Dina, either you're going to have to take the questions or people can just talk.
I am happy to do that. Again, if you are online and would like to ask a question, please scroll your mouse over the Zoom screen and click the microphone button in the bottom left of the screen. I'll start us off with a question, or you can post it in the chat box and I will read it for you. I had a question regarding the Chazan approach, the Barry Chazan approach. When it comes to the notion of the from within for the presenter, how do we, I'm assuming that notion of authenticity applies to both those who have spent significant time in Israel and those who do not. For either group really, how do we account for individual experiences, individual biases, or to Barry Chazan, is that just not important because you are sharing your authentic experience?
That's a great question. And I think that's probably one of the most complex questions. I'm going to kind of go around this a little bit and kind of back into it. Several years ago, Alex Pompson and Jack Wertheimer and Chagita Wolf HaKohen, I think her name is, did a study of 92 Jewish day schools in North America. And one of the findings of that study, it had to do with Israel. One of the findings of the study was two kinds of teachers emerged, explorers and exemplars. and exemplar teachers kind of taught from who they are, right? They were, oh, I remember we ate this when we were little and when I went to the Army, and let me tell you about my Army story. So that those teachers were the ones that, it's a little bit like a text person, right? What Heschel would call a text person, that they taught who they were, right? And the explorers are the ones who kind of open things up for the learners and let the learners kind of explore questions, and didn't use themselves as examples, but rather use themselves as guides to help learners explore. So I think one of the things that we can do to identify how teachers teach from within is to, first of all, identify, are you an explorer or an exemplar? And if they say an exemplar, then you can, if they have their stories that they tell, then you know that there's a teaching from within, right? The explorers is a little trickier, because for explorers, it could indeed be more of an intellectual exercise rather than a kind of a deep spiritual connected exercise. And I think that's a challenge that we constantly need to address as we engage in professional learning for faculty, for sure. So I think all of this has to do with how we begin to talk with our educators, the people that we ask to teach, about Israel, and what opportunities we give them to explore their own relationships with Israel. So I think Barry would say that's one of the first things that you have to do, is to really have conversations about Israel in the lives of your educators before you even move on to your learners. Does that answer it, sort of?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it leads to deeper questions for me as to it sounds like what he's advocating for would be a professional development approach with the educators. So I'm just on a right. personal note, curious what exists in that realm to help facilitate those conversations. Just out of curiosity. By the way, I also posted, I believe what you were referring to was Hearts and Minds, Israel and North American Jewish Day Schools.
Yeah.
I posted a link from the iCenter.
Great. So one of the things I just got up to show you, the iCenter, one of the great things that the iCenter put out are these resource cards. And there are like 50 or 60 of them. They have to do with people, places, events, society. And you actually ask people to choose two or three cards that are most meaningful for them. I always choose drip irrigation, right? Because I spent so much time doing drip irrigation, right? But you choose two or three cards, and teachers explain, or educators explain, why they chose those cards. That's the opening of the conversation about what Israel means to me and where it lives in my life. That's the beginning of that kind of a conversation. And then it goes on from there, some learning, some text, and all those kinds of things. But this is certainly a great opening conversation for that. It's been very powerful. Teachers who have taught together for dozens of years, right, and do this exercise, didn't even know this about each other, right, and began to learn what each other has to offer. By the way, the other thing I would say is not every teacher offers everything, and one of the questions is how do they work together? Any other questions?
Yes, Joan, would you like to unmute and ask, or I can ask on your behalf?
I was just going to ask if there is a specific article by Barry Chazen explaining his approach.
Indeed. It's called A Philosophy of Israel Education, A Relational Approach. And I may have... the iCenter certainly has it. I may have a digital version of it. If I do, Dina, remind me and I will get that to you. I certainly have. I have a shortened version, a one pager that I took it. And what I did is I put it into one page. So it's a crib sheet.
Oh, that would be great.
Yep. Happy to send that. I think it actually may be in the materials I sent you, Dina. So I'll save
Wonderful.
You reading a book.
Those materials will all be posted on the ancillary materials page, again, huc.edu/alumni learn following the session.
Anything else? So I'm going to move on here, and the question is, what do we do with this? How do these kinds of principles come to life? So I brought two examples for you. The first example, these are my decisions. It could have been any of these principles. I am bringing together the principles around diverse narratives, arts and culture, and the integrated, what I'm calling whole person approach. So the questions that I ask myself, what in the diverse narratives, what will I use? Which narratives am I going to use? The second is, where will they appear? In other words, am I doing this in, if I were in a day school, am I doing this in language arts, or am I doing this in arts? Am I doing this after school? Am I doing this in a family education program? Where am I doing this? What medium am I going to use? Which arts medium am I going to use to convey or open up these narratives? And what do teachers and educators need to take into account as I do this? So as I think about this example, and I actually went through this and I changed what I did like 4 times before this session. I was like all weekend, I'm like, no, I think I'll do this, I think I'll do that. So what I ended up, I did something, the next one is for older folks, but I decided to do something for the younger grades. One of the reasons, by the way, I decided to do something for the younger grades as part of this session is we don't think in a sophisticated, in general, I'm not talking about people on this call, but what I have seen in the field is people don't tend to think in a very sophisticated way when it comes to little kids, right? They think about, oh, we'll take them on a trip to Israel, let's do the flag, you know, we'll eat falafel. It kind of stays at a symbolic and repetitive and not very deep engagement with Israel. Again, from this perspective, we should do all the fun things because the kids should love Israel and get excited about Israel. But we also need to know that when they go out into the world, they hear about Israel. They're not deaf, right? They see Israel. They hear about it maybe in their families. So I decided to look at I decided to look at different Jewish communities in Israel. And when I thought about different Jewish communities, I thought about the following. I thought about people who have lived in Israel for generations. You know, the 11th generation Yerushalmi. I thought about people, Russians. I thought about Ethiopians. I thought about people from Iraq. I thought about people from Egypt. I thought about people from a broad range of places. And I was very particular as I thought about the narrative. Often we do narratives of particular groups that have come to Israel. We often skip the Ashkenazim. We often skip people who have lived in Israel for generations because they also have a culture. So I tried to think very broadly about that. And then I thought to myself, okay, whole person, what's whole person? And one of my favorite textbooks are cookbooks. I love cookbooks as textbooks. And I opened up Zahav, which is a wonderful cookbook, and I saw on the first page spices. And I thought, whole person, smell, taste, touch, seeing, that the culture comes through the 5 senses. When we're in Israel, how many of us can think about walking through the Shuk or going to Machane Yehuda or really at so many places in Israel, on my kibbutz kitchen, I can remember, and all of my senses were engaged. So when I think about integrative, I think about how, for young kids, how do I engage all of my senses? And so I decided to do for arts and culture, a food unit. But again, we often do food units that are kind of typical. We'll have some pita and falafel. And so one might think to do hummus, But I decided I wanted to do a tahini unit because we don't really talk about tahini, and tahini is a very interesting. It has very different flavors and approaches for being prepared, and you can make tahini cookies. I mean, there are many, many uses for tahini, and one of the reasons I went for it is because there are wonderful chapters in here and wonderful background about tahini. So for second and third graders, where you can use spices, they can make their own tahini. They can use it to make cookies, to make sauces, to they can do a gazillion things with it, and they're using all their senses. And I might include here photos of not only tahini, but photos of the people eating the tahini, or where people are preparing tahini, or the different groups that we're looking at and we're talking about, right? So that would be, so here you have diverse narratives because you have multiple backgrounds of people who are, why they use a particular recipe when. You are using, it's integrative because you're using all the senses. And here the teachers, the educators are both exemplars in that they can tell their own stories about tahini in their lives. I have lots of stories to tell, but they can also be explorers, kind of opening up kinds of, you know, approaches and different recipes for tahini. And by the way, another cookbook I might use, if you were using narratives, of Jewish narratives and Palestinian narratives, I would probably use the cookbook Jerusalem, right? Because in this cookbook and in this cookbook are not just the recipes, but the stories of the people, right? So you lift up the stories of the people, you take the photos, you blow them up, and all of a sudden it becomes authentic. These are both authentic, and which is also really critical. So that's one example of how, as I'm thinking about these principles, how they might come to life. The next one I thought of had to do with the relational approach. And the questions that I ask myself is, what kind of content supports relationship building? And which medium or media allow learners to explore and develop their relationship and understanding? And the third is, who are the educators that support this? And again, I go back to those first four areas that I talked about: content, perception of the learner, perception of the educator, milieu. All of those are the things I go back to when I think about the questions that I need, and the pedagogy. So I decided to do the second example on the relational approach, and I decided to look at high school age kids, but you could look really, this could go high school and older. And the topic was home and homeland. I used a little bit of, this is a little bit of a hybrid with the Macomb questions. So this deals with aspects of the conflict, but it deals with aspects of the conflict through one particular lens, which is home and homeland. And so you can bring in Palestinian narratives. You can bring in different Jewish narratives. You know, you could bring in a narrative of, there was just something I saw this week about those folks who came, when was it? It must have been for Holocaust Memorial Day, where folks who came from Yemen, for example, and the more restrictive immigration policies that were in place in the early 1950s in Israel, what they feel, those individuals feel about Israel as home, is very different from Americans who made Aliyah and were welcomed with open arms, right? So you can really parse this in so many ways, and or you could talk about what 1948, right, and what happened to this concept of home for Jews and for Israeli Palestinian Israelis, or we used to call them in those days they were the Arabs who lived in Israel, right, their perspectives of home and homeland. Now, because this is for high school, I thought a lot about what high school kids, if we want to build relationships, how high school kids think and work. So they work through music, graffiti, anime. They work through the arts. They work through their smartphones, right? So one of the media that I would use would most likely be poetry, photos, graffiti, and I would allow the kids a range of media through which they can begin to express both their own personal sense of home and homeland and what home and homeland might look like to one, two, or three other groups in Israel, and to do some comparison. I happen to bring up, there are a couple of poems that I don't know if I sent you, Dina, but there are a couple of poems. One was by a guy named Erez Biton, where he talks about he owned Café Royal on Dizengoff, and he talks about what he is, I think he's from Yemen or Morocco, I can't remember, but he would be serving the elite of Israel. And so their sense of home and his sense of home in that one poem were different and distinct. So you could look here at conflicts from within Israel and the tensions between different groups in Israel, or you could look at between different Jewish groups, or you could look at aspects of the conflict among groups such as the, you know, the Palestinians who were in Israel in 1948, or the Jewish settlers who now live in the territories or in Yehuda v'Shomron, right, and the Palestinians who live there. So, but using the medium of poetry or graffiti or photos or music, would be a powerful way, and then learners are able to actually create something of their own that represents their perspective. So that's a second example, but what's clear here, I hope, is that I have used principles to guide me in my decision making. And here's what I'll leave you with. How do I choose which principles I want to use? First of all, it's important to go and look around and see what principles there are. I've given you a whole set of, the four that I gave you are pretty well known. I think even as part of Alumni Learn, Lisa Grant's going to be speaking, Alex Sinclair has some. Some of the folks who are going to be presenting, and in some ways this is a nice kickoff, because others who are going to be presenting in this series each bring their set of principles. And it would be interesting to hear what they are and how you might apply them. But so here's how I would suggest that one chooses. First of all, be intentional. Make the conversation about the principles and not about the political perspectives or what I want to teach yet, right? Start with the principles and consider these principles a working set of principles subject to revision, right? Some principles you might think you want to explore, or the relational one might be right for you, but you know what? It might not. So don't feel like you're locked in. Worry less about specific content. What do they need to know? Very often the first question is, what do we need to teach them? Oh, they need to know about this. They need to know that. They need to do this. I would rather suggest to worry less about the content and more about how the content enables you to live into the principles you've chosen. And this is already coming from a different hat, from my curriculum hat, which is, Laurie, you know this because I dray on this, and Laurie is a graduate of the Executive MA program, that content is really arbitrary. Often content is chosen by what textbook we have or what we think is right, but it's really kind of arbitrary because there are probably 60 or 70 ways to go about pieces of content or ways to approach content or particular content. So I would worry less about the content and more about how whatever content you choose, what's the best content to support your principles. And the final question about how do I choose is, can I scaffold my educators and my teachers who are being asked to work with these principles? Is this doable for them? So I think that's pretty much it. What I have here are a whole slew of resources for you that you can draw on. In particular, Israel21c.org has lots of cool, interesting content that is very achshavi, that is very current. And if you are thinking about what kind of content would help me in a particular area, they have very contemporary stuff. Schusterman Center at Brandeis University has really good primary sources, really important primary sources. And I would, if you want primary documents, which I think go back to that word authentic, then they have some great stuff. The I Center, Jay Peoplehood, Macomb, and Jewish Learning Work all have really good developed curricular materials that you can look at. But again, the lens that I would look at them through is, what are the principles that I want to see emerge from, that I want to work with, right? And does this content or does this curricular framework support those principles? So I'm going to stop for now and take any questions, and I will do my best to answer them. Oh, yeah, Joan? We can't hear you, you're muted.
Now I'm unmuted. This has been really-
You're unmuted. What?
This has been fantastic, and I looked up and I said, it's almost 2 o'clock, that's too fast. You offered so many different options, and I'm wondering if there are ways to focus, and this may be a question for Dina, to give us more options with Leslie doing overviews to understand more of this. Because this was great. I'm sorry more people weren't here.
Thank you.
Can you ask that again, Joan? I wanna help provide you with information, but I'm not entirely sure how to frame that.
Well, I know that Lisa's doing a session mm-hmm. on her specific area, but Israel education, I think, is one of the most challenging we have. And do we just focus, and also bring it into the adult realm? Hartman does amazing stuff, but too much of it, I think, is how do we deal with hamatzav rather than the relationships and the different aspects of Israel that Leslie presented so beautifully today. So I'm wondering if there are other ways either that Leslie can do some presentations, or when thinking about Israel presentations, we can bring more of this in.
Okay. No, I appreciate the thought and I appreciate the question. I think a next step for me would be to take this back to Leslie and Dr. Grant, and to Dr. Miriam Heller Stern, and have a conversation about trying to unpack that request and seeing how we might be able to provide further materials, whether it's in presentation form or whether it's in through materials that we share.
Sounds
so
great.
Thank you. If anybody has any questions, you are encouraged to unmute yourself and ask now, or again, email me at alumni@huc.edu. I do have another question, but before I ask that, Dr. Lippman, thank you so much. This has been such an incredible session. So in-depth, and we deeply appreciate you taking the time to do this and preparing this for us. My question is, in terms of application to working with adults, my anticipation is that you're going to respond that you just sort of take the material that you shared, you look at the principles, and you apply it for the learner who's there at any age. Is there anything else? If we are working, let's say, in a setting with lay leadership in any form, in any location, are there other things you would suggest that we bring into our planning to work with that cohort?
Yes. As a matter of fact. So one of the things that I think is very important for adult learners who already bring many of them, I don't want to overgeneralize, but bring a lot of angst around Israel and a lot of ambivalence around Israel. I think one of the important things to do is to bring text as a way to mediate, rather than let's just have this discussion about Israel. Bring a piece of text that will help mediate and frame the discussion so that people are talking actually through the text and finding themselves in the text. The other thing is I tend, and I didn't bring this here, but I tend to like to bring texts that reflect diverse narratives, right? So that adults can find themselves within one of the narratives. For example, in work that we've done in the day schools, my colleague, Rami Wernick, Zichrono Levracha, had put together for us a whole set of approaches to Israel, right? Do we see our connection to Israel as rooted in the Torah? Do we see our connection to Israel as peoplehood related? Are we Zionists? In other words, what is my relationship? Here are five possibilities, right? And where do I situate myself here? All of these are good places to situate yourself. So that's another way to work with adults. I think the problem is when we try to come with the answers or we try to end up with a solution, right? I think it goes, it's like good tech study, right? You want to raise the questions and you want to give people tools and opportunities to explore the questions in an authentic way. By the way, I think it's why arts and culture is so profound, because arts and culture comes through artists who are really grappling with this stuff in real time. I don't know if that answers your question, but I can't hear you. You're muted.
It does answer my question. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Hi, this is Jerry. Can you hear me? I don't know if I have a mic or not.
No, you're good.
Oh, you're good. Fine. I used to be teaching junior high school, and I appreciate your vision and your enthusiasm. I'm not a trained teacher. I was a cantor, and I would go, and I remember when I was dealing with one Israel thing, I wanted to address, I looked at how do you address the Arab-Israeli issue, the conflict. And a fellow walked in with a baseball cap on, one of the students. And I asked him, as a teacher, I said, may I have your cap? He looked at me strange, and I said, may I have it? And he takes it off his head, and he hands it to me. And there was a silence. He says, well, can I have it back? I said, no, you just gave it to me. It's mine. And so then the discussion opens up, because all the students think I'm being unfair. But I said, who has the rights? And the point was, it was an exploration of how do you decide who has the right to own anything? And the land,
right,
is a possession. Is it who had it first? Is it somebody who makes use of it? Is it all of the things? And for me, I always thought the teaching has to start with who the learner is, what's their level,
right,
of understanding. Take it from there and then move a step further, but let them explore it. And that's, I think, what you're saying, but in a more sophisticated manner than I'm used to say.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think the trick, I think, is to take that moment with the kids and then to bring them sophisticated enough material from Israelis, or from either, you know, whether it be through hip hop music or through graffiti, to bring them real authentic material that they can chew apart to see how others are answering that question around the questions you're trying to raise. I saw this at camp, one of the URJ camps this summer, where that question was opened up, not quite that one, but the kids arrived at responses that just were not acceptable. They were like, oh, you know, the Jews should just get out. You know, what do they need the tzaras for? They should just get out. Let's just give it back. And, you know, they weren't acceptable because they weren't based in enough substance. So this is where the substance question becomes really important, that we be prepared with the authentic material. And that's why I kind of gave all the these resources. The Eye Center, by the way, has some wonderful resources. They have films. They have films. They have with founders of Israel. They have a lot of authentic arts and culture. So those would be ways. I think the question is, what I would say is, I wouldn't use a textbook. I would use real authentic materials that are Israeli.
I like that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Dr. Lippman, thank you so much again for joining us. This was a really wonderful session. We deeply appreciate it. And to our alumni, thank you all so much for being here. Thank you for being a part of this. Again, you will receive shortly a link for an evaluation of today's learning. Please do fill out the evaluation, as we do utilize the responses as we work to create future Alumni Learn sessions. And with that, it is my pleasure to end today's session. Thank you all so much. Have a fantastic day.
Bye. Thank you all.